Welcome to the Words of Life program. We are presented each week at this time by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. This week, using Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, Brother David Johnson will teach us to live by the Spirit. We trust that you will be blessed as you listen.
The gates shall never close to the city foursquare. There life's crystal river flows, and there is no night there. God shall wipe away all tears. There's no death, pain nor fears, and they count not time by years, for there is no night there.
There may be no sunshine bright in the city four square, for the land is.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in appreciation of your great blessings and love. We honor you with our thoughts and our voices and for the time of prayer. There are others who are dedicated to you. Please bless them and help them as well with the ability to serve you more effectively. Help us to be humble as we recognize your holiness. We are always concerned about the persecuted Christians. Please strengthen their faith and bless them to serve you. As we close this prayer, we pray that each of us will be ready to see Jesus when he comes. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now present Live by the Spirit.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God, and thank you for listening to this Words of Life radio broadcast. The title for the lesson is Live by the Spirit, that is, the Holy Spirit. And our primary text is taken from Galatians in the New Testament, the letter to the Galatians, to the Galatian churches. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Please listen to the Word of God. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. This is the Word of God. Many people justify sinful behaviors by simply calling them natural or human nature. Of course, this is true regarding our tendency, whether Christian or non-Christian, our tendency to give in to our fallen, sinful nature. Yet calling sin natural does not mean it is essential, nor beneficial, or unchangeable behavior. It is, for example, natural to sometimes skip brushing our teeth. Yet most choose to brush our teeth knowing it's beneficial, regularly, consistently. We avoid skipping brushing our teeth. We teach ourselves, yes, discipline ourselves to do the unnatural, until the unnatural itself becomes second nature. Indeed, all self-discipline might be defined as teaching ourselves to do the unnatural. Instead of vulgarity and cursing, for example, we train ourselves to speak in a clean, wholesome way. Instead of greed, we train ourselves to be more giving. Yet even in these simple examples, we know from experience that we sometimes slip up and sin. Self-discipline is a very fine attribute. Self-control is part of the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Yet we need help in especially difficult circumstances. Born-again baptized believers have the indwelling Holy Spirit, whose fruit works in and through us. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and yes, self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Jonathan Edwards, a tremendous preacher and theologian, stated, quote, "I'm resolved never to do anything which I would be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life," end of quote. This sounds reasonable, that as Bible-believing Christians, this could be a good backstop to sinning. And yet the ultimate power of self-control comes not from ourselves, but from the Holy Spirit. As we cooperate, as we surrender, as we submit to the Spirit, to walk, to live by the Spirit. Let's look closer at our text, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, and make personal application as needed, individually. Verse 16, "So I say," the Apostle Paul is writing, "so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Paul is obviously writing to Christians in the Galatian region churches. Only born-again Christians have the indwelling Holy Spirit to live by, according to Romans chapter 8. Notice also that the inspired writer Paul affirms that, yes, even Christians still have to battle with the sinful nature. And this is found also in Romans chapter 7. These truths affirmed in case of doubters. The original Greek language verb translated live or walk indicates continuous action, that is, a habitual lifestyle, not an occasional effort. Live also implies positive progress in this context, as a Christian submits to the Spirit's control. This meaning to respond in obedience to the many simple commands of Scripture, the end result being growth and maturement in one's moral, godly life. Now, I say simple commands, they are simply put, but they're not simple to always achieve, accomplish in our lives. The sinful nature, or flesh, does not only refer to simply the physical body, but also includes the mind, emotions, and will, of which all are subject to sin, to immorality of some type. The sinful nature refers in general to our fallen humanness. We're human beings. We have a proclivity, a bent toward sin. Therefore, the remedy to this inner battle between the old and new natures in Christ by the Spirit is revealed as the inward ministry of the Holy Spirit to help us. He is our helper. To experience victory over sin, Christians must live by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of our tendency to give in to our fallen humanness. But how exactly do believers live by the Spirit? Our passage, at least the short part that we are using, does not explain explicitly this figure of speech, namely, to live by the Spirit. Other scripture helps us gain a clearer understanding of what this means. The Holy Spirit works in and through us in at least four major ways. Number one, the Spirit illuminates our minds to understand God's will through His Word, the Bible. Consider 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. We have not received the Spirit, little s, the human spirit. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, Holy Spirit, who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. This last phrase could be translated, the Spirit interpreting spiritual truths to spiritual men. Secondly, the Spirit empowers us to be changed into the likeness of the character of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says in part, being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. This truth is reinforced by Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, which says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Number three, the Spirit convicts us of sin. The Spirit can do this through the power of changed inner convictions in that we realize what we ought to do or not do, and thereby by making us feel guilty and or remorseful. Referring to the Holy Spirit, Christ stated, when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. John chapter 16 and verse 8. And so the Holy Spirit convicts of sin both to the believer and the unbeliever. perhaps in different ways, since the Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but nevertheless, it's the Holy Spirit's, it's part of the Holy Spirit's ministry to convict of sin. Fourthly, the Spirit works in our hearts to guide and direct us to want to do and not want to do as God desires. Illustrated by Ezra, when he wrote, quote, "whose heart God moved," end of quote, Ezra chapter 1 and verse 5. Consider this illustration. Many airports have moving sidewalks. They allow travelers to get around airports a little faster than they would walking around on their own power, especially with heavy baggage. Travelers can still walk if they choose, but now are able to do so with ease because the force underneath them is propelling them forward. As believers, we are all on our spiritual journeys. We soon find out that living out godly lives in our own power is a heavy load, doomed to many failures. However, walking in the Spirit implies that the believer is still on the move, not passive, not complacent spiritually or morally. Believers can learn to walk with the Spirit's help, illuminating, empowering, convicting, and guiding them forward in God's will. According to these scriptural truths, we can live out several practical ways to better live by the Spirit. Beginning, we should pray to God, asking Him by His Spirit to illumine our minds to truth, to empower our feet to walk in His ways, to convict our hearts when we go astray, and to guide our wills to follow through on godly desires regularly. We can have victory over sin. We can have victory over sin by living by the Spirit, as we know that, quote, "the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want," Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, all believers desperately need the Holy Spirit's enablements for consistent victory over our sinful, fleshly desires to live out godly and fulfilling lives to the glory of God. M. Scott Peck, Christian psychiatrist. He wrote a best-selling book entitled The Road Less Traveled. The main message of his book is living a life of spiritual growth, which requires a loving nature and being open to new perspectives, including the helpful and mysterious force of grace. And that taking the road of life less traveled isn't easy. It takes effort, it takes a strong will, and a strong sense of self-discipline, which is provided by the Holy Spirit. It seems to me that this author made the critical mistake, however, in only emphasizing individual human effort in his book, only emphasizing human effort, human will, and human self-discipline without including the Christian's helper, counselor, empowerer, the Spirit of God, as absolutely crucial. The Bible is always far, far superior to any other book, even a so-called Christian book, of course, especially regarding biblical spirituality as pleasing to the one true God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. God's law is good, but it primarily reveals righteousness over against lawlessness or sin. And that on this side of heaven, no believer can keep all God's law. We are all sinners. God only saves sinners. There aren't any other people that God can save, because everybody is a sinner. Only Jesus Christ never sinned in His incarnation as He became one of us. We are all sinners that continue to fall short of God's holiness, of God's glory. Victory only comes in our constant yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. In the final analysis, it's not self-discipline. It's surrender, submission to the Spirit's way, to the Spirit's control. A believer can no more sanctify himself than he could have saved himself in the first place. No Christian, however mature, can live out a godly life only in his own self-discipline. All believers must keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. That's our necessary commitment for a godly life pleasing to God. May we as Christians always remember the paramount importance of the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer.
To live by the Spirit, we must first be Christians. The Bible shows us that Christians are to first believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We are also shown that believers are to repent of sins, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion in water. If you're not yet a Christian, please consider this decision today. To receive a free CD of this and last week's program, ask for program 2340. That's 2340. And thank you for listening today. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is WOL1radio@gmail.com. That's WOL1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing this.